The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. The Red Sox pull off a thrilling victory over the Philadelphia Phillies. 3-1, your final score. Seydon Rafaela with the magic touch off the bench with a clutch 2-run homer, and Sonny Gray delivering one of his better starts of the season. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Doug and Chris. Guys, this is a breath of fresh air for this team because not only did they get the win, but they actually had a couple of extra base hits, had some clutch hitting, starting pitching comes through, and they beat a pretty good Phillies team that's, you know, trying to turn their season around. So pretty much everything we could ask for is what we got tonight. Doug, what'd you see out of there from Sonny Gray?
Yeah, Sonny looked great tonight in his second straight time now. Second straight start, looking really good. He was lights out tonight. Six innings, two hits. Let up that one home run, but it's, you know, a solo home run, which, you know, shouldn't be a big deal if you don't have the team we have, you know, but they pulled through for him. And, you know, he had six Ks, I think. And, you know, he was really, his placement looked well. His breaking balls looked really good. Tonight looked like the guy that you paid, you know, to bring in. And it's just a big boost with Crochet still kind of in the unknown. You know, we really needed him to step up and be the guy that we paid to be here, and he totally was tonight. I would have liked to see him maybe go seven, but I'll take the six with the way he looked.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have Sonny Gray salvaging the Red Sox rotation in the absence of Garrett Crochet on my bingo card. That's for certain, especially coming off of an injury stint, right? To your point, in which he has looked good in the last two starts. I think what impressed me the most outside of the fact that, I mean, he did get six Ks, which is a lot for him. He generally sits somewhere between two to three, maybe four on the high side, was the efficiency and the fact that he only gave up one walk, which has been consistent for him. He has not walked many batters this year, but I mean, yeah, I mean, he was as lights out and dominant as you would expect, or could expect. And to your point, Doug, with this offense, you just like, the problem is you don't know if one run is going to be enough to bury us. But yeah, it was a great start from him.
Yeah, it was, you know, damage control from Sonny Gray, and that's the kind of pitcher that he is. Even the six strikeouts, like, we haven't really seen that from him. He's kind of been a low strikeout guy, at least so far early on with the Red Sox, and only two hits. I mean, he made one mistake. That was it. Made one mistake to, you know, Justin Crawford, who you don't expect to really take you deep at this stage of his career. He's still a young guy, still kind of breaking his way in. So, you know, he didn't allow Schwarber and Harper and guys like that to really get to him. So, very good start from Sonny Gray. And I hear you, Doug. Like, he was at 78 pitches, you know, could he maybe stretch him another inning? But I kind of don't mind that they didn't, because you just got him back, you know, and you have a lot of pitchers that are, you know, making their way back or are still on the IL. You know, we got a positive update about Garrett Crochet that he threw off a mound today, and you saw him, you know, throwing in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. It's a good sign. But, you know, for all we know, we could hear in 2 days that he felt uncomfortable and maybe tried to ramp up too quick. So I don't want any of these pitchers going down again anytime soon, because they're the thing that's keeping you afloat. I mean, your pitching staff is the only thing that's going to keep you going right now. The offense, a little bit better tonight, but you still only scored three runs off of Andrew Painter, who was coming in with an ERA close to seven. So I don't mind that they didn't stretch Sonny Gray. I think it was better to just, you know, take what he gave you, 78 pitches, and then hand it over to the back end of your bullpen, which, you know, now that Justin Slayton is back, is a lot more formidable, because you don't have to throw out a Greg Weissert or a Ryan Watson in the seventh inning. You have another really good top-end reliever in Slayton, who is now healthy and can contribute. So that's a good formula. You know, you get six innings out of Gray, you go Slayton, Whitlock, Chapman. And I know Chapman, you know, was a little bit dicey to start there, but he figured it out and he did what he always does. He closed it down. So I don't mind it. If you know, Sonny Gray, if they got to work him back in and kind of ease him in, that's fine, especially if he gives you a performance like he did tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're right. And if they can get Slayton, you know, to come back in and get going again like he did, that's definitely the recipe and the blueprint that they want.
Yeah, I think what could salvage this bullpen right now is if Slayton can get back on track consistently, because the way Samaniego has looked to this point, you might actually have something here between these two, where we've been saying, okay, let's get the starting pitch and you go seven, turn it over to Whitlock, and then obviously you have Chapman, and that's the only recipe. But at this point, if we can have consistency between these two guys, I mean, turn it over to them in the seventh, get it to Whitlock and Chapman, and now you have something. Especially if Sonny Gray can keep this rotation afloat. If Bayo, who seems to have turned it on in his last couple of starts, seems to kind of figure it out, and we could piece it together until we get better news on Crochet. But I mean, if Crochet's out long term, I mean, as good as these guys do, I don't think it's going to, it's not going to salvage the season overall, especially with the way the offense has been.
Yeah, we focus a lot on the offense, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, it's been one of the, you know, historically worst offenses in not just baseball this year, but like Major League Baseball as an entity, you know, the last 100+ years. I mean, I think, I forget what the stat was today, but it was like the first time, you know, since like World War I that a team had struggled, you know, to manage more pitches out of a starter than they did against Zach Wheeler through the first three innings. Like, there's stats that you can put on this Red Sox offense that, you know, they're making history from teams back in like 1907. I mean, it's really that bad. So we do focus on them a lot, but at the end of the day, the Red Sox are only going to succeed if the pitching staff is healthy and if they're pitching the way that they are now. You mentioned Brian Bayo. We talked about him last night. I mean, look, if this is what he needs to turn it around, if he needs that buffer in the first inning to really, you know, get him going, fine. I mean, whatever gets Brian Bayo going is what you need, because you can never have too much pitching in this league. And, you know, you mentioned a guy like Samaniego out of the bullpen. Look, I don't know how long that's going to last, but if you found a diamond in the rough kind of thing, that's good, because you can't just lean on Slayton, Whitlock, Chapman that much. I mean, we know, especially with Slayton, he probably won't stay healthy if you throw him out there too much. Whitlock could be the same way. You know, he tends to break down too. And Rolls Chapman is, you know, 37, 38 years old. So you don't want to put too much pressure on him either. So I think it's good that they're starting to find the guys that they really trust, right? Samaniego, I think, has earned his spot. Guys like Greg Weissert and Ryan Watson are starting to lose their spot. And, you know, maybe that's the first, you know, move that they can make. If Breslow is serious about his comments saying that he believes they can turn it around, well, that's a good way to put your money where your mouth is and go out and get a reliever. I mean, it's never too early to make a trade. Just because you're, you know, not at Memorial Day yet doesn't mean you can't make trades. Teams have already done it. And relievers are one of the easiest things that you can pluck from another team, that, especially another team that, you know, knows they're not going to compete this year. You know, your White Sox, your Twins, you know, whatever. Like, you can pluck a reliever from somewhere. The Giants are already, you know, putting up a for sale sign in front of their ballpark. So go get one of their relievers. Why not? You've dealt with, you know, what's his name? Buster Posey. You've already dealt with him in the past. So I think that would be a good kind of first move, even though it's early, for Craig Breslow to make, especially knowing that, you know, he's on the hot seat now. You fired the manager, so it's all on you, Craig. And if he believes his team can turn it around, that's a small move he can make early on. Go get a bullpen piece to supplement that bullpen, because your starters eventually are all going to get healthy. And if they keep pitching well, the only way you can better improve that pitching staff is to, for, you know, sort of shore up the middle of that bullpen. So I think that's something I'd like to see him do.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Why wait? You know, just go, let's, you know, if you really think that the pitching is going to turn this around, that it's not out of reach yet, then don't wait around. Make moves now. I'm totally with you. And I think that's about twice through the rotation, all good starts, I feel like, right? It's been about 2 weeks, I think. It's just we haven't really had a bad start. We've had Weitzer blow some games and things like that, but the starting pitching has, or I guess Bayo, you know, whatever you want to consider there, the starter didn't do great, but he came in and shut it down both times. So, you know, that's about 2 weeks of just really, really good starting pitching, and it's not turning out as many wins as it should that you would think, because our offense is just, you know, that horrific and that historically bad. But if anything's keeping us at least afloat, it's the starting pitching right now. And then Chapman too, and on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's the pitching overall. I mean, and I look at since Chad Tracy took over, I mean, we're, what, I think 8-7 now after tonight's win. And to be honest with you, the pitching's been good throughout that whole duration. You know, they've had one or two bad games, but I mean, that's to be expected in a 15-game stint. I don't disagree with you guys that I think it's a quick and easy fix to bring in bullpen help. The only thing is like we're basically 500 and the pitching has been about as good through 15 games as you could be. And we're still one game over 500 in that stretch. To me, I also believe that we have a lot of internal options at the AAA level and even AA if you want to get creative to bring in for potential bullpen help. You know, guys that are quote unquote starters or have been starters at the major league level that have been, you know, optioned down to AAA or coming off rehab. To me, the only way you're going to fix this team sustainably to where you can really make a playoff push is you have to get offense. Because my fear is, as bad as the American League is, you have to expect that some of these teams that are just absolutely dragging ass to start the season are going to pick up the pace as we get closer to the trade deadline. And at some point, if we keep playing this game of only a couple of games over 500 every 15, 20 game stretch, you're going to fall out of it. So, and what's holding us back is the offense. We need offensive help. That is the only thing that is going to keep us in this race long term. And my fear is, even if you get some more help in the relief area, it still may not be enough to keep us afloat as some of these teams, you know, start to dig themselves out of the hole they got.
Yeah, and that's the flip side, right? That's the flip side to, it's nice to see Sonny Gray perform like that and help you get a win, but if he keeps pitching like this, doesn't he become a really attractive trade candidate, you know, within the next month plus? I mean, once you get past Memorial Day, trades are going to start happening more frequently. Not everyone waits until July 30th. And look, Sonny Gray's a veteran. He's got a well-known track record. You know, there are going to be teams out there that, look at the Yankees. Max Fried might be down for a while after his start today. He's got an elbow thing going on. Like, and they're still waiting on Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon to come back. So there's going to be teams around the league that are going to need starting pitching. Detroit could certainly use some pitching after Skubal went down, and you know, Flaherty hasn't been too, you know, many great shakes this year. So that's the flip side is, yes, it's good to see Sonny Gray perform like this, but you're still under 500. You're still trying to climb your way out from the bottom of the division. Yeah, the American League is pretty weak right now, but Chris, you made a good point. At some point, those teams are going to start to turn it around. Baltimore is starting to slowly wake up a little bit here. Toronto is starting to get healthier. There's not many teams that you can really write off right now. Maybe Houston. Houston might be one you can write off. The White Sox, obviously, you can probably write off. Angels, yeah, could probably write them off. But everyone else, like, they're starting to slowly turn it around. So do the Red Sox find themselves in a position where, yeah, the pitching helps and it kind of helps you get back closer to 500, but then all of a sudden Craig Breslow is going to start getting calls on June 1st about, hey, you know, we want to trade for Sonny Gray. And we have a really good package to offer you, including some, you know, offensive prospects. Or maybe it's a one-for-one. Hey, we'll take Sonny Gray, and we've got this veteran bat that, you know, is a really good power hitter. We know you guys need power. What do you think? So that could be something that comes up here, especially if the Red Sox continue to stay, you know, well under 500, is that, you know, guys like Sonny Gray, yeah, it's great to see him pitch well and help you win, but they're going to be really attractive to other teams as well as we get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, definitely. And there's no reason why, if there's the right deal out there, why you don't move them. You know, I mean, I think that's for pretty much anybody. you know, I guess not anybody, but Bayo, Gray, you know, those two guys, I think I really wouldn't want to give up Tolia early right now. I mean, for a monster deal, sure, but I think they're pretty much off the table. But if there's a deal out there to be made for a Bayo or a Sonny or a couple of the hitters, you know, now's the time to be aggressive. And it's almost at the point of like, what do you got to lose type of deal, and just be aggressive and, you know, go for something. I think that's probably where their mind should be right now, but I don't think it would happen. I don't think it will happen.
Yeah, as I look at the standings right now, you got Chicago basically has the third wild card, which is absolutely wild to think about. The White Sox are ahead of any team in the American League, right? It's historically bad as they've been the last two seasons. But, like, I expect them to fall out of it. But you got teams like, you know, to your point, Jason, Baltimore, even the Twins, the Royals, the Tigers, the Blue Jays, all these teams that are lumped up with us. Like, two or three of them, maybe even all of them, are going to elevate themselves. I think the White Sox will drop. Maybe the Twins kind of stay, you know, below water. I think the Astros and the Angels will be out of it pretty quickly with us if things stay the same. So, yeah, it's if we don't make a move with offense within, I would say, the next week and a half, this thing can get away from us. And I agree. Like, honestly, there's only two people on this whole roster right now that I would not trade. And it's crazy to say, but it's totally and early. There, you give me the right deal for Mayer, take him. Give me the right deal for Roman Anthony, take him. Like, I'm sorry. There is no player that has shown me anything to suggest they are untouchable outside of Tolley and Early, which sucks to say. But the other part that sucks to say about this whole thing is I've also watched this organization between two general managers trade away generational talent, you know, legends for our team and franchise for nothing. So, if you got nothing for Mookie Betts and you got nothing for Rafael Devers, and then the little bit of something that you did get, you traded away for nothing in two sequential moves afterwards, what confidence do I have in that they can execute a Sonny Gray deal that's going to get me something that we really need long-term, or God forbid a Roman Anthony or an Amir? And I'm not even saying they're thinking about this, but when I say everything should be on the table, that's one side of it. But I also don't trust to deal them off of the table.
Yeah, they're in such a tricky spot, right? Because you don't want them to completely blow things up, because it just sends the wrong message to the young guys on the roster that you're trying to develop. You know, you're trying to basically, you know, ingrain in these guys that we're not that far away from contending. We just need to add a few more pieces. But then the guys look at the standings and, you know, you're losing two out of three or you're getting swept and they're going, well, we're pretty far away. Like, you guys should be making some moves. So it's hard because, again, like, the American League is kind of wide open right now, at least at this moment. And it's just hard to pinpoint, like, well, what's a couple of moves they can make that would really get you to say, okay, now I believe in the team. Now they're going to turn things around. It, you know, I know we had fun with the Mike Trout rumor yesterday, but, like, that's a deal that's not likely to happen, right? You know, everyone keeps saying, well, Yordan Alvarez is going to be on the block. You're not going to get Yordan Alvarez. Because the problem is, if he's on the block, other teams are going to have, you know, interest in him. The Dodgers are going to be the first ones to call. And they still have a better farm system than you. They've got better young players. They've got, you know, they can make a move like that. There's other teams around the league that have better prospects and also, frankly, have more competent GMs that are going to make a move like that. So the Red Sox are in a tricky spot because, yeah, I wouldn't hate it if they dealt Sonny Gray the deadline for a really good package, but do you trust Craig Breslow to get the best package in return possible for Sonny Gray? Like, no, of course not. I mean, he hasn't shown that, but the problem is he's sitting there knowing that he's on the hot seat and knows that he has to do something to save his job. So I feel like this might be the year where we get a very aggressive Craig Breslow either around or near the trade deadline, and I'm a little bit worried as to what that's going to look like because he does not have a good track record when it comes to making big deals like that.
Yeah. I mean, I've said a lot that I would love to see them make a deal. And if there's a big deal out there, they got to go get it. But I have absolutely no faith in Breslow being able to make any type of deal like that. A blockbuster trade I just don't see him anywhere near one of those, or I don't see another GM coming to him to make a blockbuster type of trade. So I have no faith in that.
Yeah, I don't either. But to play devil's advocate and at least make this somewhat interesting, what is it that you guys would be willing to part with for a Yordan Alvarez trade? Like, how much are you willing to hurt to get him? Because I agree with you, Jason. I think the Dodgers, if you're only putting the players that we expect to be putting these trades, yeah, they can outmatch us. I think if you put people like Meyer and obviously Roman Anthony on the table, that's where I think we could outbid the Dodgers. But are you willing to hurt in that type of trade?
You can go, Chase.
No, I was just going to say, for a guy like Yordan, I'm willing to hurt a little bit. Meyer, for me, would definitely be on the table. Probably one of your starters, either Early or Tolley. It's going to take one of those guys. I hope not both, but you'd probably have to choose one or the other. At this point, I have no idea which one I would choose to keep, which one I'd choose to let go. So a package like that, like a Meyer, and let's say Connelly Early and, you know, a Franklin Arias, would I do that for Yordan Alvarez? Yeah, I think I would. Because I just think he's proven himself as, I mean, I want to make him a full-time DH. I never want to see that guy in the outfield ever again. But can he give you what David Ortiz gave you for all those years? Yeah, I think he could. Like, I think he's that good. I saw today that, you know, they had Carrabas on the radio. He said he wants Tatis Jr. I'm out on Tatis at this point. Like, Yordan, I'm willing to hurt for. A guy like Tatis, does he still have no home runs at this point through the middle of May? Like, ever since that PED bust, he is not the same guy. Yordan Alvarez, to me, that's not going to be an issue. So I am willing to hurt a significant amount to get a guy like Yordan.
Yeah, I'd be willing to hurt. I don't know about Early. That would be tough for me to – I would definitely not say no. It would be something to be thought about, but I would put Meyer on the table for Alvarez with a few prospects. I mean, Duran, Bayo, whatever. I don't think I would want Roman on there. I don't think I would want – I still believe in Roman. I believe in Meyer too, but I think, you know, you're going to have to hurt a little, like you said. So I'd be willing to give up Meyer. If it had to be Tolley, I think I would do that. I think I would give up Tolley instead. I don't think I'd do Early, but I think I could do Tolley and Meyer, maybe a prospect or two, and bring in a guy that you know is going to mash, you know is going to hit 25-plus if he's healthy. You know, he does have some injury problems. He's still only 28, so, you know, he's not too old to make this type of trade for. So, I mean, if that's on the table, I think, you know, if it's not a no-brainer, it's close to it, I think. You got to at least hear them out and see what they want. And if it's too steep, it's too steep. But there's a lot of guys, like you said, Chris, you know, almost no one for me is off the table. A couple guys, maybe more than you. But, yeah, I'd be willing to hurt for sure for Yordan.
So I'm gonna make it a little interesting because I think – if it's Meyer out of Meyer and Roman, you're going to have to do Early and Tolley, or Early or Tolley if it's Meyer. To me, they're more valuable to me than any of them. Like I said, the meeting, like, so I want to keep them. I would do Roman Anthony, put in a Jake Bennett, a Marcus Phillips, and maybe another like throw-in prospect for Yordan Alvarez. Because to me, you do that, that gives them their quote-unquote outfielder, because technically Yordan Alvarez does play left field for them occasionally. He is does do DH, but he could be our DH. You got Yoshida's coming off the books anyway, and then at that point, you've got Duran. Like, you freed up that spot for Duran in the outfield, right? And listen, Duran has been about as ice cold as possible, and I'm sure we will get to that, but, like, someone's got to be in that position. So to me, I think I'm moving Anthony to try and preserve both. Or it's to preserve Early and Tolley and keep them out of the deal.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea. Yeah, I don't hate the idea. I mean, it's tough. Like, I don't want to give up on Roman just because he's had a frustrating start to his, you know, what if you want to call it, the sophomore campaign, right? Because he looked so good last year in that 70-game sample. I mean, that looked like the guy that we were promised. And, you know, yeah, he had a decent spring, and then he's been off to a slow start. Now he's hurt again. That is frustrating. But at the end of the day, like, he's 22 now, just turned 22 today. Yordan Alvarez has a few more years on him. Not to say that Alvarez is going to break down anytime soon. I think he's, you know, he's built in a way that he should be able to play for a long time. But it is tough. It's tough to give up that many years in exchange. But if it means that you keep, you know, your two stud pitching prospects, and those guys, along with Crochet, are kind of the future of your rotation, that's hard to pass up, definitely.
The other reason why I think it's easier to convince them to not take a pitcher is you have Roman signed. Meyer, you don't. There's no contract extension for Meyer. So to me, you throw that in is like, okay, you've got him for the next 8 years at this point. That's a huge selling point to this. And again, I look at it like you could only hope. I don't think Meyer was ever expected to be a Yordan Alvarez from an offensive standpoint, but he's the best defensively of the three players. You hope that Roman Anthony could be 2/3 of Yordan Alvarez. And I get that we, you know, some of us have belief in him, but like, I trust in Yordan Alvarez because I've seen it for a longer period of time. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I mean, the offense, so we'll get to how the lineup did tonight, because it was a little better. I mean, and, you know, it was marginally better than it was yesterday, because at least tonight you had two extra base hits in the form of two home runs. Trevor Story finally kind of getting off the schneid. He finally hit a solo shot tonight, had two hits, one of those included. And then Sadon off the bench, that clutch two-run homer. I'm glad that Chad Tracy, you know, pushed that button when he did. I think Sadon's one of those hitters, like, he does live for the moment, and sometimes he lives for it a little too much. We saw that in last night's game where he swung at a pitch, you know, 20 feet over his head. But other times, he, you know, when he's locked in, he's kind of the guy you want up in a tie game situation like that. Hits one over the monster. You know, Willy Abreu, three hits tonight. He continues to be just your overall best hitter in the lineup. So, you know, there were definitely some bright spots. But again, you know, nothing out of Jarren Duran. Another 0 for 4. He's down to 184 on the season. You know, Wilson Contreras wore an 0 for as well. He's kind of cooled off here in May, you know, as, you know, when he had a good start. So a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde with the offense. But at the very least, you got the clutch hits when you needed to. And that was pretty important tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right. Sadon, he knows how to be a clutch player. He definitely does. And last night, you know, he swung at that pitch over his head. He was giving it a good at-bat before that. He's looked as though he's had some more discipline this year at the plate. He's not chasing as much. And, you know, it's just, it's showing maturity. And with him and him and Willier are really the two bright spots of the last month or so. The only ones really hitting the ball at a consistent level, if you semi-consistent level. Willier is probably, I mean, I would say he's our best player. I mean, he's the best right fielder, fielding-wise, in baseball. And he's really starting to hit the ball. Three hits tonight. And, you know, would like to see more power, you know. But I think it will come for him. I think he's really starting to, you know, because he's still, you know, very young player. I think he's really starting to come into his game a little bit here right now. And we're starting to see him blossom a little bit. I think he's going to continue. Because I really like what I'm seeing out of him. But Sadon, I think you got to move Sadon up in the lineup. I think he should be having that two spot right now. You know, definitely not Gasper. No, and no disrespect to Gasper at all. You know, he's fine. He's played fine. But I really think Sadon has earned that spot right now. He's looked really good. He's shown power. And he's when no one else is doing anything, you know, even guys that aren't doing great, all you got to do is do good on this team and you look like $1 million.
I mean, I would bet Mickey Gasper's mustache at 2. That's for sure. That thing looks great.
Hell yeah.
But in all seriousness now, I mean, with Rafaela, I mean, this has kind of been his career, right? Like, he's the same guy on the, whether it's the same night or the next night, he'll swing at a pitch 20 feet out of the zone and he'll crush one, right? I mean, he's just honestly a more well-rounded Jackie Bradley Jr., probably a little bit slightly better defensively, definitely better offensively, at least more consistent. I mean, let's face it, he's right now probably got, out of the regular everyday players, the second best batting average on the team behind Willy Abreu, who's the only one that's batting over 300 as far as the quote-unquote everyday players. And I think the biggest issue with this roster right now, specifically the lineup, is that there's no consistency as to when guys are heating up and cooling off, right? Like 2 weeks ago, Wilson Contreras was on fire, and you're like, man, and Willy Abreu couldn't like hit the broadside of a barn. And you're like, gosh, if only the two of them could figure it out. And now Willy, you're starting to heat up, but Wilson Contreras is one of the coolest on the team. Jaron Duran, a week ago, we were like, man, this guy needs to be playing every damn day. He's horrible, and like the strikeouts are killing us too. That's another thing. It's not even just the 0-4. It's, you're not even putting the ball in play. And then Durbin, you know, we were talking about like, all right, great defense, still not hitting great, but at least he doesn't strike out. And now he's got 3 strikeouts tonight. So it's just Jekyll and Hyde across the lineup. There's no continuity. As soon as one guy heats up, the one guy who was hot then becomes cold. The guys that were cold are frozen. And then it's, you're just in disarray. And that's why this team, really the biggest thing is they got to figure out the offense. They have to add offense if they're going to take this season seriously, or just decide to punt, because this offense isn't good enough currently constructed. Even if it's firing all cylinders, this is a lineup that's going to score 5-6 runs on a good night. Tonight was 3 runs and with a plethora of opportunities, but it's not sustainable, because as good as the pitching is, you can't expect guys to come out here and just give up no runs, one run every single night. It's not realistic.
No, for sure. It's still their biggest Achilles heel is this lineup. And look, I'll give some credit to Mickey Gasper. I mean, he's, what, 5-for-whatever since he came up? Like, he's hitting close to 500. Had another hit tonight. He actually drove one out to the center field warning track, which, you know, in June, that might be going out, might be going off the wall. So he's at least showing you something. I mean, I'll take a guy like that over IKF any day. You know, I know Gasper can play less positions, but, you know, he's a switch hitter. I think he hits lefties pretty well in general. So he's showing you a little something. I wouldn't have him hitting second. I think that's that experiment, I think, can end. I agree with you, Doug, that like Sadon should be moved up to that number 2 spot. I think he's earned it at this point. And when you do that, it also allows you to bump Trevor Story further down in the lineup, which is where he should be. He should be your 7 or 8 hitter at this point until he heats up again, which everyone tells me he's going to, but I'm not convinced. I mean, we'll see. You know, just because he did it last year doesn't mean he's going to do it again. And yeah, unfortunately, like, as good as tonight was, you still only scored 3 runs. I mentioned earlier, Andrew Painter has been really bad this season for the Phillies. Yeah. And that's a guy you should have been able to capitalize on. The Red Sox didn't draw a single walk tonight. And that's just shows you their approach still kind of stinks. Like, won because you swung for the fences and you happened to do it twice. And that was good enough to win. And your starting pitching and your bullpen locked it down. But they're still doing the same crap. They're still swinging early in the counts. They're not taking enough pitches. They're not getting on base consistently. It's just tonight they happen to get a couple of, you know, clutch home runs. But the approach is still a problem. No walks, 8 strikeouts from the lineup tonight, which the strikeout number actually not that bad. For this lineup, when you get below 10, that's like a gift from God for this lineup. But yeah, their approach is still a major problem. And that's why when you hear Craig Breslow say, you know, I think we can still turn it around, I look at the lineup and I go, I don't think you can. I don't know how you can say that with a straight face.
Yeah, no, it's, there's nothing in this lineup that's going to show that. Even the guys that like are going to turn it around per se, it's not like they're turning, and no, anyone's turning around to 30 home runs, to probably even 25 home runs. I don't know if anyone even gets to that. So, you know, probably not. You know, the only one that has a shot is probably Willier, maybe Wilson. You know, but there's nothing in this in this lineup to show any type of transformation as it is constructed right now. If they go make a move, we can talk then, but as of now, the pitching is going to have to carry this team. The whole team ERA is going to have to be, you know, below four for us to really gather or have a good month and kind of have and make any noise at all in the standings. And I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, the offense, I mean, we went in coming into the season, we speculated that this was going to be a team void of power and be like the bottom of the bottom as far as home run totals. And they're even, they're projected to be even worse than we speculated, which was already bad, which Jason hit upon, which is why we are now being compared to generationally bad teams that haven't done this for like 140 freaking years, which is a huge problem. But it's not going to turn around. The offense isn't going to fix it because, again, even at their best, we speculated they were going to be a bottom third towards the bottom end of that third offensively. And realistically, the pitching, like even if you flip their record and you said we were 24-18, it wouldn't be because the offense figured it out like Craig Breslow is speculating will happen. It's because the pitching is literally like a freaking wagon and overexceeding at this point. So we can't expect it. It's not sustainable. If we're going to fix the season, we have to be serious about trading for some offense. And that's just it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I really don't think you see any significant change unless a move is made. You know, you could point to a few guys and say if Duran really heats up, if Durbin just becomes somewhat of a competent player, if Story turns around like he did last year. But again, I don't think you can guarantee on any of that. I don't see it from Durbin. I don't see it certainly not from Trevor Story, the way that he's still chasing balls 9 feet outside the strike zone. Duran had that stretch where he got hot, and then even when he was making outs, he was making loud outs. But now that's even kind of gone away. He's starting to swing and miss a lot more. So I think Duran is doing his usual. He keeps changing his batting stance, keeps changing his approach. It's like, okay, so he's just going to be, you know, all over the place all season. So yeah, I don't think anything really changes unless a move is made. And that's what, you know, it's going to come down to. And we'll see how serious Breslow is about his comments about, you know, I still believe we can turn it around. Okay, if you believe that, then, you know, if you believe in the team, then go make a move to help the roster. You know, if he doesn't, then, you know, it's just more of the Red Sox usual blowing smoke up our rear ends, which we're used to at this point for sure. But yeah, time will tell on that one.
Yeah.
So they got a tough test tomorrow. We got a pair of lefties matching up. It's going to be another 6:45 start. Jesus Luzardo going up against Ranger Suarez. Now, Luzardo's had a rough year. He's kind of been up and down. He's had a few really good starts, but mixed in with some really bad ones. So hard to tell what the Red Sox are going to get tomorrow. Doug, start with you. How do you feel about that matchup?
I feel pretty good. I think I'm feeling good anytime Ranger takes the mound at this point. And that's just where I'm at with it. I'm feeling he's just looked great. And like I said about Sonny, he's looked like the guy that we paid to be here the last few starts. And I'm riding him right now. I think I really have confidence, maybe more than anyone, when he's taking the mound right now. He's looked great, and I'm not going to doubt him. I'll take us, you know, to finish it off. If it gets played, I guess, and it's up in the air right now.
Yeah, I mean, Lazaro has been like hit pretty hard this year, but so was the pitcher on the mound today for the Phillies, and when we put three runs. And to me, like, that's the scary part of this. I'd love to just be like, oh, yeah, we got Suarez. We gave him the contract. The Phillies didn't. Like, he's going to want to go and shove. He might. We still might lose.
yeah.
The only thing I will say is I think Ranger Suarez is going to pitch well tomorrow. Hopefully that results in a win.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning the same way. I think this I rarely do this, but I think I am going to pick the Red Sox to win tomorrow. Again, assuming they get the game in, that's not looking likely at the moment. But if they do get it in, I don't know. I like their chances because I like the way Ranger pitches. And, you know, people say, well, you know, this lineup knows Ranger Suarez better than any lineup, so they know how to attack him. Like, well, that's true on the flip side, too. Ranger knows these hitters. I mean, this Phillies lineup, you know, not a ton of turnover. So He knows how to go after a guy like Schwarber, a guy like Harper, you know, those really big, big bats in the lineup. So I think the Red Sox have a good chance tomorrow. Again, assuming they get it in, I think, you know, if the offense can just get a couple of those more clutch extra base hits, right? Just, you know, you're not going to get a ton. You're not going to get 10 runs out of this team. But can you score four? You know, on a guy who's got an ERA close to six coming in? I mean, he just gave up 5 runs to the Rockies in his last start. If the Rockies can touch him up, the Red Sox should be able to as well. So I think if they can just score 3 or 4 runs, you know, Ranger can hold it down, and then they should be good to go. So I'm cautiously going to pick the Red Sox to win tomorrow, but we'll see what happens. Either way, whether that game is played or not, we will be on the air with you guys tomorrow night. So keep an eye on your socials for when we go live. And as always, we love having you guys in here with us. Chat section has been great. You guys have been really active tonight in the conversation. So always love to see that. And we will see you guys tomorrow, rain or shine. So have a good rest of your Wednesday night, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow. Take care.